Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over the weekend that was in the NFL college. What a weekend. What a week of football. Talked about it Friday that, hey, enjoy it. What a great weekend, all of these games. And it certainly lived up to the hype. And we'll go through a little review here in a minute. Preview some of the, just a quick look ahead to some of the opening lines for next weekend, which should be fun. But you think about it from a week ago when it was Ravens Steelers, and the winner obviously goes to the playoffs, the loser is out. We have had six playoff games, plus that game is seven NFL games and two college games. Seven of the nine basically came down to the last drive, the last play. And you also had, you know, the Chargers Patriots, which was a kind of a dud ending to the weekend. It looked like the Chargers were hanging in. They got some turnovers. They just did nothing on offense. And then Oregon Indiana was a disaster on Friday night. Indiana goes to the title game. Lanning, oh my goodness, Lanning is a guy who just nothing seems to stick to him. And his teams have had some bad performances over the past few years. Ohio State down 34-0 last year. 2 years ago, big favorite against Washington. He gets killed, and then whatever that was on Friday night, what a disaster. But seven of the nine games, when you got seven of nine do-or-die elimination games come down to the final play, the final minute, just you can't ask for much more than that. The big story on Sunday, Patriots-Chargers, we just watched that. That ended the week. Like I said, Chargers had their chances. Herbert is going to get crushed here. Some of it's fair. I thought he missed some throws. There was one play he underthrew where he could have had a touchdown. I don't know if it was Gadsden, but it's the same thing where some of it's fair. You can kill him for underperforming, and he's never done well in the playoffs, and he's not clutch, and maybe he's a little bit overrated, but he also does not have a great situation around him. There is not a lot of juice at the skill guys and the offensive line, man. He was just getting killed. The offensive line actually held up the first three quarters, but he was getting obliterated, absolutely obliterated by the end of that game. And the final play, which is fitting, where he just got absolutely crushed. Fourth and nine, he runs up. They run a play action. Nobody buys it. He just get just teeing off on him after that fake. It was just a microcosm of how that game went. But the story of Sunday to me, what a job by the Niners. Kyle Shanahan, Sally, give them credit. The signs were there all year with the Eagles, where I talked about them. And said, you know what, the talent's there. You could see him making a run. You can't count him out. But there's also this flip side of them where, just like 2 years ago, it never felt right with Philly. And the signs were there that the Eagles just weren't on the same page. No juice, no explosiveness on offense. Hurts was up and down at best. I mean, what did he end up with? 160, 170 yards passing. And a decent chunk of that was the last drive. And A.J. Brown, by the way, I mean, a good player, but if you're going to be a big mouth and you're going to complain and pout and be tough to deal with, at least catch the ball. He was awful today. Awful. I'd imagine that's his last game in Philly. Not sure where he goes, but somebody will take a chance on the talent. But if you're going to be a pain, you at least better catch the ball. And he had some really tough drops, some plays where he just wasn't, you know, hustling, trying hard. That team will probably look a little bit different next year. So Philly out, great win for the 49ers, great win. Kittle gets hurt, a million injuries on defense, and there they are with a rematch of the game last week against the Seahawks. Seahawks laying seven against the 49ers. And made this comparison because it was such a natural comparison. Last year, Darnold was on the Vikings, and they played the Lions. Winner wins the division, winner wins the one seed, loser's a wild card. And you think, all right, if things break right, they play again in 2 weeks. That didn't come to fruition. The Vikings got eliminated in the wild card round, and then the Lions get eliminated in round two anyway. But that will be the situation here where Seahawks play the 49ers two games in a row for them. 49ers get the Seahawks for the second time in three games in 3 weeks. So that will be a little rematch there. Jags-Bills lived up to the hype. It's funny. I talked about the angle that the Jags, in a close game, you got the kicker who can kick from anywhere. We missed the 54-yarder before the end of the half, and I thought that the Jags got a very fortunate break to give them a shot at that field goal. They called the offsides on the Bills. I thought that was a very generous call. It was almost a ball don't lie situation where the kick ended up missing anyway. And just a horrible job by Lawrence. I started to believe in them a little bit as a team, but Lawrence, I've never been a fan of. I've relented and said, you know what, he's played well. I picked them to win this game, and boy, I got some rough beats on some of these picks this weekend. My goodness. But you take over, and you can say the Bills scored too early. I know it's hard to, you know, dictate when you score, things like that. And you just, when you get in the end zone, you can get it. You would like Buffalo to milk some clock, and you're not going to run out of time. Don't score on first down and then give yourself a chance. But regardless, Jags take over. Plenty of time. You got to, I know you don't have any timeouts. So you got a minute or so to get in the field goal range. You start at the 25. The kid can make it from midfield. He's made it from midfield in the past. I know he missed one from 54 today on Sunday. You need basically a first down, a couple of first downs, and you're in field goal range. To throw a pick right there is so bad. He had the bad pick in the first quarter. And, boy, the money came in on the Jags, too. I remember when the line opened up, just a Jags favorite, Jags getting a point and a half. That's the wrong team favorite. It ended up being at circa, Jags were 2.5-point favorites. And this is why these lines are on 1.5, 2.5. Don't overthink it. You know, everyone wants winners for the games, and you want to pick the side, and it's fun, and it's what you're supposed to do when you're in content and you're picking these games. You want to pick who wins. But from a betting standpoint, if you tease the Jags when they were a 1.5-point dog, you won. You did fine. If you tease the Bills when they were a 1.5, 2-point dog, you obviously got home there too. Just teasing these 1.5, 2.5-point dogs is really, you know, is really the way to go. But bad loss by the Jags, good win by the Bills. Allen is just incredible. They took a beating. He took a beating. We'll see what they have left for Denver. They are a 1.5-point favorite on the road against the Broncos. They eliminated the Broncos last year. That game was in Buffalo. Denver's, I would say, better this year. I mean, they are better than the one seed, but that's interesting that the Bills are a favorite on the road here. Broncos, a good teaser leg at 1.5. You could tease them up to 7.5. I would think, if nothing else, that game is close. So, exciting weekend ahead. As far as the Saturday games, it feels like Rams-Panthers was you know, a week ago, a spotty effort by the Rams at best. They survive. How they collapsed at the end of the first half and how that game turned was just unbelievable. The Rams, I was doing the live bet Saturday show with Brad Taylor and Veasan. The live line was 20.5 for a good part of that first half. The Rams are up 14-0. The Rams are up 17-7 with the ball. Adams was wide open down the sideline. Looked like it could have hit him for a touchdown. They missed that. They punt, and then they recover the punt. Looks like they're going to score anyway. They go for it, don't get it, and then all hell breaks loose, including Nacua dropping the touchdown before the half, and the Rams had a fight for their lives to get out of that game. And Nacua breaks up the pass that would have been intercepted. That was a big play in that game, but the Rams survived. Rams have not looked great. That is not a championship defense. No, there are no great teams. Rams might be the best team, but you can't have a defense like that. And there were, Carolina moved the ball pretty effortlessly, and Carolina was in a situation similar to Jackson where they got the ball back. All they needed was a field goal. All you need is, you know, 25, 30 yards, probably 30 yards to get in field goal range. 4 and out, couldn't do anything. Tough loss for the Panthers. I mean, look, house money, you won the division. Nobody expected you to win. Nobody expected you to be in that game. It's not, I can't say it's a bad loss. That would have been a horrific, horrific loss for the Rams, who were a 10-point favorite and up 14-0, a 20.5 live point favorite for a lot of the game. If they had lost that game, that's one of the bigger upsets and one of the bigger just collapses in playoff history. But the Rams survive. And one team, before we get to Gilly, who did not survive, is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, boy, if you bet them, if you had them on Saturday night like I did, the game ends and you just sit there and stare at the TV for a while. How they blew that game is incredible. The Bears do it again after being down 10 in the last couple minutes and winning an absolute miracle the 3 weeks prior, the week before Christmas or thereabouts. They do it again and they're down 21-3. Packers have a chance before they have to get a field goal. They miss. Packers get the ball out to start the third quarter. So you think of this, you get a double dip. You're up 21-3. You got a chance to score. Maybe let's say you make the field goal. It's 24-3, and you get the ball back. You get a touchdown. It's 31-3. When the way they were moving, it seemed like that was what was going to happen, the way they were moving the ball. Miss the field goal. Go cold on offense. Let the Bears back in the game. But even after all of that, they're up 12. With 5 minutes and change left, and the Bears have a 4th and 8. And it looked like nobody was open. Williams with just I don't want to say it's an iconic throw because we'll see if they lose this week. You probably forget about it. But Bears, who have not had a lot of playoff success in recent years and recent decades, really, they complete that. If you don't complete that, Packers were already in field goal range. The Bears were on their own, like, 40-yard line. Packers are already, you know, I would say field goal range, but the kicker stinks. You're going to lose the game. You're up 12. You're down 12 at that point. You're going to lose the game by 15, you know, 18, 19 points or whatever. 5 minutes to go, you convert that. I mean, the game is over at 4th and 8 there if you don't convert that. Even when you do convert it, and I was looking at this from the Bears teaser perspective. All right, the Bears, maybe they get in the backdoor teaser. Touchdown, and the Packers actually answer with a bunch of first downs, including some long ones, but go out of bounds. They did a horrible job milking the clock. They got to delay a game, and then they missed the kick on top of it. Bears get the touchdown, and then even after that, the Packers had their chances where it was Reed who dropped a long pass, and then the Packers, who did a terrible job wasting timeouts on defense, and those timeouts and that time really came back to haunt them because they ran out of time Saturday night in that game. And meant to mention this too when I was talking about the Eagles game. You can't burn your last timeout. Philly did this. 4th and 11. They have all their timeouts. There's like 43 seconds left, 45 seconds left. Even if you go 3 and out, or even if you turn the ball over on downs, you can get a 3 and out call, use all your timeouts, you get the ball back with 30 seconds left, you at least have a shot. Once you burn your final timeout or one of your timeouts, that means the 4th and 11 play is for the game. You can't, I mean, that's just a horrible, I know you want to get the play organized and run your best play, but you can't be so frivolous with these timeouts. And Green Bay did a terrible job with that Saturday night too. You know, calling timeouts on defense, calling timeouts just to get themselves organized. And it came back to haunt them. I know LaFleur is a good coach. You could say, boy, Green Bay, who are they going to get that's better than him? They shouldn't move on. I actually think he's pretty sharp with a lot of the game management stuff, but he's never gotten the kicker right. I don't know how much of that's his fault, but that is a horrible, horrible. You can't have a worse loss than that. I mean, it's just, you're up 21-3. You're killing them. You are killing this team. To lose that game is so bad. Just such a ridiculous loss. But they found a way to lose it. And I always say that. And I always say this in all these sports. Just think about everything you have to do to go back, to get back there. It's just, it's such a mental mountain to climb when you think, all right, we're sitting here first week of January. You got to wait all this time, February, March, April, May, June. So it's 6 months from now, 7 months from now is July. And then you get training camp, and then you get a 6 week training camp with 3 preseason games, 17 regular season games. If everything goes well, you get back in the playoffs and you get back to where you just were. I mean, it's just such the idea of starting from scratch after, you know, where you were. And I don't think that was a championship defense or a championship team, but you win that game, you're 2 wins away from the Super Bowl. You play a Seattle team where, who knows, Darnold could come unglued at any moment. And it's just, you know, you're in the divisional round. To lose that game for your Green Bay, that is the worst loss anyone's had in a long, long time. That's clearly the worst loss of all of these teams. Philly, bad loss, but you won it last year. It's just kind of an off year. You just won a championship. You can't go too crazy. I know you never like to lose at home. You know, Chargers, you were hurt. There's not that kind of expectation. Jags, you had a good year. Panthers had a good year. By far, the worst loss of the weekend is Green Bay. That's just a horrible, horrible loss. But it sets up a divisional weekend. And we do have a game Monday night. Obviously, Texans laying 3 to Pittsburgh. I like the under. The under's come down a point or so here at 38.5 now. So hopefully we can get that under home. But as far as next week, I believe we have the Saturday games are 49ers and Seahawks. Seahawks laying 7. To San Francisco, total 46.5. And then at night, I don't know if these have been announced. I think they have. I'm going by DraftKings, just the order here. Bills and Broncos. Bills laying 1.5 on the road to Denver. Total also 46.5. I mean, that's going to be a very popular teaser leg. Seahawks down to -1. You go through the 3, you go through the 7, at least from the 7. And then Broncos up from 1.5 to 7.5. That's, to me, that looks like a pretty good teaser. And then Rams and Bears. Rams laying 4.5 to the Bears. I am terrified to step in front of this Bears team. Absolutely terrified to step in front. How could you not be? I mean, you put your hand on the stove and you get burned. I mean, how many times can you put it on there before you don't want to put your hand on the stove anymore? But the Rams, I would think, should win that game. But keep in mind, Stafford had his finger looked at, x-rays, that kind of thing. So that's not nothing. Maybe it is nothing, but that's not something you can just dismiss and say, oh, he's fine. Maybe he's okay. Maybe he's not. And you never know. Yeah, this far out, it's tough to see what the weather's going to be like. But if you get a bad weather day, that obviously neutralizes things as well. So those are the 3 games that are set. The winner of the Texans and Steelers will play the Patriots. So you either have Texans-Patriots next Sunday or Steelers-Patriots next Sunday. So we got 1 game Monday night. We got 4 next weekend. That's 5. The 2 championship games are 7. And then the Super Bowl is 8. So we are down to 8. NFL games left in the season. 8 NFL games. But going to enjoy them while we can here. So as far as best bets, I'll stick with the under here Monday night. Steelers and Texans, even though it's come down a point or so. Gave it out last week when it was 39.5. I still like it under 38.5. I'd be surprised if Pittsburgh won. I can't lay the 3 with Houston. So I will stick with the under here of 38.5. But coming up next, Gil Alexander, get his thoughts on next weekend, this past weekend. Maybe talk a little Miami and Indiana because that will be the title game a week from now. Let's talk to Gilly. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast. A great weekend of football has concluded. To discuss it all, you can catch him a numbers game, the Beating the Book Megapod. It is the great Gil Alexander. Gilly, thanks for coming on. It feels like we just had a great meal, great appetizers, great entree. Then the dessert comes and there's a giant hare in it. And kind of not ruins the meal, but that Chargers Patriots thing was not a thing of beauty. But what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, man. Look at me. Look how tired I look. Good God. Seven football games in that you watch, you know, every single snap of for 3 days. One more to come. Wouldn't happen any other way. But, man, yeah, you're right. That last game was terrible. Terrible.
They can't all be good. And I look at it this way. From last Sunday night to tonight, today, to the, you know, Sunday to Sunday, you had what? Six NFL playoff games. The Steelers-Ravens was the seventh, and two college games, nine. So nine elimination games, do or die. And what, seven of the nine were pretty much awesome, with the exception of Oregon, Indiana, and Chargers-Patriots.
Yeah. And I was on the right side of Oregon, Indiana, and I was on the wrong side of the Chargers-Patriots. So those have different feels for me. But yes, they were two just horrific football games. This one tonight, I guess we should just start with that one. I guess I was right about the Chargers defense, right? They were probably an underrated defense, but good God, the Chargers offense was just completely stymied. Completely stymied. And part of that was no one was open. Part of that was Herbert had no protection. Part of that was also Herbert himself, though, I think. And Kelly Bidlin, who's numbers game producer, co-host, whatever his title is these days, I'm ready for the Herbert negativity tomorrow, man. He's been screaming about this for a long time.
It's hard to fight it off because I have buddies like that too, Dolphins fans who swore it Tua was better, and they've relented on that and said, well, Tua's not better, but Herbert's still not a winner, all that stuff. And it's like a lot of stuff. You can hold two thoughts in your head at the same time. There's some truth to it. There is part of it, like you said, nobody open. I mean, at the end of the game, I thought the protection, which I was concerned about, you always worry about them with their offensive line injuries. You know, you worry about the protection. I thought it was okay most of the game, and then the fourth quarter, I mean, he was getting obliterated. If there was a fifth quarter, he might not be walking right now. That was just ugly. But he had chances when it was 6-3, when it was 9-3. There were guys open. I remember a play, I think it was Gadsden streaking up the sideline. He just overthrew him. Another one he underthrew. So he had his chances. Yeah. I think both things are true.
He missed a lot of passes early. People won't remember that. They'll remember him just getting destroyed in the second half and it not being his fault and everything just having to go underneath. But he missed a lot of passes. That first and goal to 10 when they recovered that, when May got sacked and fumbled in the first half, intercepted in the first half off the deflection. They got nothing out of that. You made a great point, I thought, on our text, which is, And you didn't put it in these terms, but I'll put it in these terms, which is it was so inept. The Chargers were so inept that the Patriots didn't even think to go for two to make it 17-3, right? Make it a 14-point game, which is what you absolutely should do. Collinsworth, Tirico, they didn't even say a word about it because it just felt like it was just there was no chance that two touchdowns were even going to come into play.
Yeah, it's like you live in a nice neighborhood. You don't even think to lock your car. That's right. That's the comparison. To like,
that's exactly
what's
right.
What's the point? Why even waste the 2-point play? I mean, it was a mistake, but yeah, there was just no threat from the Chargers. The rest of these other games, Eagles get eliminated, Rams get scared to death by the Panthers, but there's probably nothing more ridiculous than what we saw Saturday night with the Bears doing it once again, getting eliminated by the Packers. I don't know, how would you rank the storylines, and then Allen coming back and beating Lawrence. How would you rank the storylines, as we move on from the Sunday night game here? What was the most relevant thing from you saw this weekend?
Well, storylines versus relevant storylines. I mean, that Bears comeback is just the most insane thing ever, right? I mean, that's just, I do these things for Guessing Lines Monday morning and I take notes on every game. I've never had a thing that long in my life, in any game ever. Like, it was just out of control. Ridiculous comeback by the Bears. But what's most relevant? I think what's most relevant is the Niners. And why I say that is because the Niners and Josh Allen will do one per conference. Josh Allen, because they figured out a way to beat a Jaguars team that had won eight in a row down the stretch. I'm not sure anybody thinks the Bills are that great of a football team. And yet here they are now going to Denver, who is a flawed team also. This is the year where it's not Patrick Mahomes. And as long as Josh Allen exists in the AFC playoffs, I think that's the headline in the AFC, right? Where it's like, okay, Josh Allen's still around. This could be the year where they get there. You know, because I don't think, I think, look, I think they're flawed. I think Denver's flawed. I think New England, I don't know that I think New England's any good after tonight, like any more than I thought they were, right? Because it was a flawed Chargers team in the end offensively. They deserve all the credit in the world, but I don't think they don't like leap to the front of the line for me. I don't know who's in front of the line. Maybe the winner of the Houston, maybe if Houston wins tomorrow, I'll feel like that about them. I don't know anything anymore, really, in the AFC. I don't know that I knew anything to begin with, right?
No.
The Niners are the interesting one in the NFC for me because now, and they lose Kittle. It's just incredible. This team is, they had three linebackers, man. One of them, the guy who made the play at the end is like a career practice squad player who they just called up a month ago. And all four of their linebackers that they had, it's just insane that they're doing it with these guys. And I do think now, if Fred Warner comes back next week, that might be a huge boost. I just think they're the sneaky team in all of this. So I think they're the biggest relevant thing that happened in the NFC.
Yeah, and I've been saying about Philly all year, and this isn't really a take. This is just me as a, sports fan, how to contextualize them. With all that talent, you wouldn't be surprised if they win a couple playoff games because the talent's there. They won a championship last year, but there's something that just didn't feel right with them all year. And I kind of lean towards them more being like the team from 2 years ago, where I think them losing early and getting upset was more probably likely than them making a run. That being said, I didn't think they'd lose to San Francisco. I thought they'd have enough to get by, but maybe we should have just all seen this coming. The signs were probably there with Philly, right?
They still almost won too, right? I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I think the sentence is, as it turns out, they couldn't flip the switch after all, right? Like this whole thing, like, oh, can Philly just flip the switch and just become the Philly of last year? And then the AJ Brown, I think AJ Brown played his last game with the Eagles after that little temper tantrumy non-performance, Sirianni in his face. I just, and you wonder now about. You sort of start to put the Eagles. I know it's only 1 year removed from a Super Bowl, but you do start to think of them in a different way, where it's like, okay, as long as Jalen Hurts was making all the clutch plays, it was awesome. But now that he doesn't really run, that was the other thing we thought today, right? I at least said I was like, maybe he goes to his legs today. We didn't really see that, I don't think. Saquon looks to have lost a step and a half from last year or something, is definitely different. I don't know. It might have been a quick window because as good as that defense is, that offense was terrible all year.
Yeah,
Terrible.
and the film guys say the offensive coordinator just they don't do anything. They don't run motion. They don't do anything to get
Yeah.
young guys open, which I don't. I mean, I don't know enough to know either way, but I've heard it enough where I think maybe there's some merit to it. The Rams' performance, which seems like about a week ago now, but it was only
It does.
yesterday afternoon. Do you look at them differently? This is now a month where they haven't played well. They're a play away from losing the game. I think maybe the biggest game play of that game was Nacua breaking up the interception late in
Yes.
that game when Carolina had the lead. Is this just, we see this in the NCAA tournament where a team gets a scare early, then they go on, they win it all? Or is this a sign that there's some issues with this Rams team? And now Stafford may be dealing with a finger injury.
I still think they're the best team. It could be that, I mean, and now this is me just speculating, right? Because I don't really know. But it could be that Carolina just happens to match up well with them and that those corners are not particularly, like, the cover corners like Mike Jackson and Scott, like are really good defenders in that secondary and just they just aren't afraid of going man against the Rams. I do think like the most underrated thing that happened this weekend, it was that just man just triggered this in my head. The Packers Bears ending. I thought that Dennis Allen did something pretty amazing, which was he's like, I'm bringing everybody, I'm putting guys on an island so that if Green Bay can get a big play, at least it won't take a lot of the clock down. And I think that we never talk about shit like that. And I just think that was kind of the most geniusy thing under the radar that happened this weekend that allowed the Bears to win that game, and they get the McManus miss. Obviously, they needed other things to go their way, but little things like that don't often get mentioned. Back to your Rams thing, I still think they're the best team, but man, the one thing that this should prove from a gambling standpoint, I just think everybody needs to be honest. Maybe there's some, look, maybe it's just me, maybe it's just you, maybe I don't know. This stuff is just so ridiculous from a pre-flop standpoint. Every one of these, except for the last one, came down to Plinko at the end. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and Rams Panthers, you could say, oh, Panthers are a tough matchup for him. Maybe there is something to that. I hadn't thought of that. Doesn't
Yeah.
seem like a tough matchup when it's 14-0 and then Nacua drops
No.
the. I mean, there was a strange sequence where McVay's usually pretty conservative, and I thought this was an unsung play. Second and 13, they just run it into the line. Seems like they're okay with just running the clock, playing for a field goal. So I said, all right, I don't love it, but probably doesn't matter. Then fourth and three, they get tempted to go for it. And Stafford, it looked like could have run for it. Looked like he had Nacua.
Yes.
He waited and he did kind of his look away, no look pass. He got broken up, and then all hell break loose. Carolina, and I had -6 for the first half. And it was a 10-point game. You're thinking, all right,
Brutal.
the field goal range is the best they're going to do. They get interference. They get in the end zone, and then after all of that, Nacua drops a touchdown. Just
Yes.
bizarre. It was just a bizarre game.
That's yeah, that I fell for you. That was an unbelievable first half cover by Carolina. I mean, in the end, am I any more like, let's look at there are three matchups that are intact next week, and then I guess the Houston Pittsburgh winner will play New England. So we don't know exactly who is going to New England yet, but the other three games are intact. And I mean, if you told me Buffalo won, if you told me Denver won, I wouldn't be surprised either way. If you told me the Niners somehow were able to beat Seattle, I would say to you, oh, Sam Darnold had that kind of game, right? That would be my response. And that's not outlandish to me. And then the other one is the Rams going to play the Bears. And the Rams will be favored, and the Rams ought to win that game. But like, are you? I mean, the Bears are insane. So I mean, I think the magic carpet ride ends there. But good God, would you be shocked if it didn't?
Who do you? No, I wouldn't be shocked with them at this point. Look, I don't know what's going on with them. Monday night game. What do you expect here? Texans, Steelers, Texans laying 3. Totals come down here at 38. Anything you like?
I like the Texans. I mean, to me, the whole Rodgers success in that game against the Ravens was predicated on the fact that there was no pressure on him. And when Aaron Rodgers doesn't have pressure on him, 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers becomes 32-year-old Aaron Rodgers, at least similar to 32-year-old Aaron Rodgers. And Houston is the team that generates the most pass rush with the least blitzing. You would think, I mean, to me, the logical conclusion is Houston is the team to play tomorrow. But I've heard a lot of smart people, man, take the Steelers and the points tomorrow. And I'm not sure I really get it. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, home night game at Acrisure, Steelers singing Renegade before the fourth
Wish Neville be
quarter.
there.
Wish Neville be there. CJ Stroud in that environment. I don't know. I mean, it's just what a league. What entertainment. I mean, can you believe what entertainment?
It really is. It really is
That's the main
incredible.
thing.
All right, let's go through because I don't want to step on your guessing the lines or anything, but you'll have an idea. You have an idea of what these lines are. Just have you made any bets? I'll start with that. Have you made any
I have
bets
not
yet?
made any bets, but
Okay.
I have my guesses. So you can reveal them to me here. I'll stick to my guesses tomorrow.
Seahawks and 49ers, you know about what it's going to be. Are you looking to make a bet? Are you looking to take the points with the 49ers?
Well, I don't, based on my guess, because I think you were intimating that it would be much higher than I guessed. Weren't you saying that on the text that it's much higher than I guessed?
Well, Seattle closed 2.5 at San Francisco just a week ago. You're going to flip
Yeah.
home field. I mean, that's going to be a 4.5 point adjustment. So that's about the adjustment made.
I'll probably take the points. I'll probably take the points there. Yeah.
Still hard to trust Darnold. I mean, I know that's a mass unit with San Francisco, and maybe Salah deserves as much credit as Shanahan for keeping that defense together, because he's done a hell of a job.
It's incredible. But
yeah, I'd have a hard time. I can understand. I'm sure Seahawks will be a popular teaser leg next week. How about Bills, Broncos? What do you expect? What do you expect the line to be? Who do you think wins the game? I'll keep it simple.
I will take the points with the Bills. I expect it to be around 3, 3.5, but I'm sure it's more than that. That's what I would make the line.
Broncos are more than a 3-point favorite?
I think they're 3-point favorites.
You're going to be surprised when you get these lines tomorrow, Gilly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm way low?
Bills by 1.5.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess I should have expected that based on the fact the Bills were favorites over the Jags, too, and I thought that was ridiculous.
But remember, Jags closed 2.5, and Fez was pointing this out. I wasn't watching the line, but Circa, which is considered a sharp book, closed Jags 2.5. So, yeah, I get it. I'm not shocked by it. But
I didn't even think about that. I just said Denver -3. They've had the week off.
Yeah.
I don't think they're any good. I'm going to take the Bills +3. But you're telling me the Bills are favorite. Wow. I'm shocked by that. I am. That'll be
a popular teaser. Seahawks, Broncos. Take the Seahawks down to 1. Tease the Broncos up to 7.5. That'll be a popular teaser. That should at least be a close game, I would think.
Wow, my guesses are way off on these games. By the way, has there ever been a number one seed that has been a dog?
A one seed that has been a dog in their first game, you mean?
Yeah, in their first game.
Probably not. Probably not. I remember some of those years. For some reason, Roethlisberger's rookie year, didn't they get the one seed? They went like 15-1, right? And they were a dog to the Patriots in the title game, but that was the title game. That wasn't the first game. I'm sure it's happened, but I certainly can't think of an instance. I mean, just Tennessee, the nature of the playoffs.
Tennessee was favored over Cincy.
Yeah, that was small, but they were still favored.
Yeah.
Probably not. Just the nature of the playoffs. You don't get too many fluke one seeds. I mean, you think of who the one seeds are in the NFL. It's usually Brady and Mahomes and Montana, and it's just the best teams, the best quarterbacks. It is unusual.
Wow.
Rams, jeez. Bears, will you be looking to have a bet there? Do you dare step in front of this Bears voodoo magic?
I was on the Bears this week. I will be against the Bears next week. I will lay. I guessed 5.5 favor of the Rams. Is that around correct? I get one at least in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Okay. Because I was not in the neighborhood in the other two. The Rams to me are, come on. Then what if the weather is horrific, sure, right? You got a team in L.A. coming. I mean, I don't know. So
Stafford got an X-ray on the finger. If that's that doesn't take much. That's a great equalizer right there.
My two Super Bowl matchups die with the Chargers. I got both the Rams and Niners through, but not the Chargers. So those are dead. The only two matchups I had. So that ends that fun as well. I was treading water for about 12, 13, 14 weeks of this season, and then I have just gone in the toilet since then.
Yeah, betting, as bad as the Megapod was for me, betting was going actually pretty good, like in real life. This weekend was just a disaster.
Oh,
Rams
really?
First half, the Packers had Jags in the first quarter today because Fez had that angle about the Jags getting the ball, and they scored like the second play of the second quarter. It was tough. It was tough. Any awards? Did you give four final awards? I'll ask it this way. Do you have a problem with people looking back now and saying, oh, now Shanahan should be coach of the year, or this guy should be the MVP? Do you think that that's fair to factor this stuff in, or is that hindsight?
Well, no, it's not fair because the rules are such that you shouldn't do that and you can't do that. By the way, I don't know when the ballots were due either. So you shouldn't do that. But I'm a guy who has a McDonald ticket because I think Mike McDonald over Mike Vrabel, they have the same season win total. They have the same final record. One of them ended up as a number one seed. He's also a defensive coach who they gave up the fewest points in the NFL. Like, I think Mike McDonald should have it over Vrabel. But I said that there was ever a year where the parameters of previous winners, meaning what their expectation was, and then based on what they did from those expectations, should be sort of thrown out the window, that it is Mike Shanahan. I sort of said that the last few weeks of the season. They have lost. I know Washington and Arizona have lost more games to starters injury-wise than any other team. San Francisco's third. But in San Francisco's case, unlike those two teams, not only do they make the playoffs, But theirs was all like all pros left and right, right? Bosa, Warner, Kittle again, Pearsall, just over and over. Trent Williams was out some. These guys, it's just incredible what they've done. Mike Shanahan is, if there was ever someone who you're like, who should, if you just stepped away from the, all the other nonsense, you're like, that's the coach of the year. Like, he really is the coach of the year, but he's not going to win it.
Do you think Miami has a shot against Indiana?
I have an Indiana 10-1. It's my only saving grace right now. Do I think they have a shot? I do not. I really don't. I mean, a shot, sure. But do I think it's like that? I don't. I just think this team is so much better, in talking about Indiana, is so much better than people give it credit for. And even now, right, after what they've done, people are like, I don't know, Miami. Miami could still do it. And Miami's got a bunch of pros on that defense.
Yeah.
And I've gone with Miami up until this point, too, right? College football has been fantastic for me. But I think this is Indiana's year, and I really do believe, had they been wearing an Alabama uniform the entire time, everybody would be whistling a different tune about them.
Bear likes the matchup for Miami.
He does?
Okay. Say that. He thinks they'll be able to run the ball. I mean, that's the one way you get upsets in football, when you can dominate up front and they at least have that, the old puncher's chance, where like the 07 Giants against the Patriots, where it's just, hey, let's not let their offense operate. Let's put pressure on Mendoza, the old saying, you can't throw if you're laying on your back. I think they do have that going for them. So I mean, I can't lay the points with Indiana from a point spread perspective. It would be Miami or nothing, but it's just, it is hard to step in front of that Indiana train. I'm so sick of Dan Lanning.
Me too.
Two years ago, you had a chance to get in the playoffs against Washington. They're like 10-point favorites. They got killed. Last year, they're down 34-0 against Ohio State late in the first half. And then whatever that was Friday night. I mean, at some point, like, when does he get some of the blame for this? Jeez.
Yeah, you were all over that. I was never a fan. I was never a fan. I never really took them seriously this year. I know, like, a lot of people like them as kind of sleeper team. I never really got it. When Indiana beat him in Eugene, I was like, that was when I made the bet. And it wasn't even, people have way better numbers than I do. I just have 10-1 on Indiana. But I was like, at that point, I was like, they can beat anybody. That this team, tell me this team isn't better than everybody else I've seen. And that has played out thus far to this point in spades. I agree with if Miami can control the ball on offense, which, sure. The part about getting to Mendoza, though, he throws the ball so quickly. Like, he's, he gets rid of it so quickly, too, oftentimes. I don't know if that's a... I don't know if I buy into that with him, because, it's almost by design. Like, some people even say he doesn't read most of the field. Yeah. That's the knock on him, that he gets rid of it because he can't. Whatever it is, he's so precise with some of those passes. It's incredible.
There is a little – we had Greg Peterson on the live bet show Saturday. I meant to ask him if anyone's made this comparison. He has a little – have you heard him out talk after these games? He's got a little Greg Hoops Peterson in his cadence.
I wait for his interviews after every game. I love them so much because I'm like, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's got a little Greg in him. I did not get out of it.
Yeah. All right, revise Super Bowl pick. Who you got?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to have to revise it. You know what? I'm going to go.
Pick the Commanders. Don't pick the Commanders.
Oh, they don't have a game tomorrow? They're not in it? Damn it. What happened to them?
They didn't make it. Vikings didn't make it.
I am going to say the Rams and the... Okay, I'll just go with the chalky chalk now. I'll go Rams and Bills. I'll just go to what everybody else has been saying.
I think you might have said that last time out, last time you came on. And I don't know, did you end up making that exact bet? You said that at the time. Like, I think that's a bet.
Never,
you said that
I,
on a numbers game, too.
Rams, yes, but I never said Bills. I think
you did. You said it on a numbers game and on here. Like, it's feeling like Rams versus Bills or Rams over Bills. You made that point. I have to go back and listen.
Well, if I did not back it up with a bet. So
yeah.
Does
it feel like baseball is 6 weeks away or no?
No, I'm not ready for that. Yeah, no, either. I'm ready for tennis. Yeah. I'm ready for tennis. I'm ready for March Madness, and everything has its proper order for me.
Yeah, it starts to, this weekend is great. Championship weekend is great, but championship, it's two games. It starts to, the depression starts to set in a little bit, but with the season going longer, it's only a few weeks. You get conference tournaments, and then everything's okay.
I would say the wild card weekend and divisional round are awesome because then we also have a
Awesome.
college football championship. After that, it kind of I get depressed because I'm like, oh, that's only three more football games.
Well, even from a content standpoint, championship week, it's
Yeah.
like you're talking about the same two games. It's like you start to break down. Well, if this team's kicker got hurt, who has a better backup kicker? You just start talking about the games from all these different angles. It's too much. Gilly, I
Yeah.
appreciate it, man.
Thank you,
Beating the
brother.
book, numbers game, where else can we find you?
That's it. I'll go away after that. Those two things.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks to Gil Alexander. Rate, review, subscribe. Keep those reviews coming. Those help us out. Appreciate it. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.